Week 17 NFL review and a Rams Falcons preview. Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL podcast for Monday, December 29th, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He's Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We are here to talk about week 17 in the NFL. We also take your questions if you are watching live. And Mike Roosh says, per DVOA, what was the funniest game of the Sunday slate? Steelers-Browns, Pats-Jets, or the field? The funniest game was Pats-Jets because that was a face stomping between two teams that absolutely did not belong on the same field.
Right.
And emblematic of the Patriots' schedule this year. Light that burns them from the sky says everyone is talking about the Patriots, but the Broncos look like much bigger schedule frauds. The Broncos have had an easy schedule, but the Patriots schedule is historically easy. It's the easiest since the 99 Rams.
Yeah. And that's it. It's the difference between the Broncos. Yeah. They've got close wins. Yes. They played bad teams. Every week is the Jets. Every week feels like it's been against the Jets for the Patriots this year.
I believe that the Patriots will probably end up, I haven't checked all the old years to be sure, but they may end up as the first team ever to not play a top 10 team.
Right. And that's the way you look at who they haven't played and you make a list of all the playoff teams.
Right. Right now the Bills are number 10 in full season DVOA.
Right.
So we'll see what happens next week with the Bills. But if the Bills drop out of the top 10, that'll mean the Patriots have not played a single team in the top 10.
Right. After the Bills win, their most impressive wins are the Ravens without Lamar for most of the game, the Buccaneers, and that's not looking really impressive. And then one of the other hard teams they played was the Steelers, and they lost the Steelers.
Right. Although, as we'll find out when I do the weighted DVOA later, their two worst games were the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yes.
And they have absolutely gotten better since. Right. And they take a big jump in weighted DVOA this week, not only because their dominant win over the Jets, but because at this point, those first two games are so far in the rearview mirror that, I mean, what did we really learn from week one against the Raiders, right?
Right, right. Except that everyone was not quite ready to do what they're doing now.
Let's talk first about the Eagles 13, Bills 12. This was a reverse post-game win expectancy game.
Yeah.
The Eagles had a 30% post-game win expectancy. The Bills had 4.45 yards per play, which is bad. But the Eagles had 3.5 yards per play, which is worse. And the Bills ran more plays, 73 to 54.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that not completing a pass in the second half is bad for DVOA.
I think it's bad for everything. How are Eagles feeling? It's bad for Eagles fans' feelings. How are Eagles fans feeling today?
I am not turning on the radio. I have not walked my dog. I do not know. I know that. I mean, the level of pessimism remains high. The only thing I can say about this Eagles season is it's not like 2023. Please stop saying it's like 2023. The 2023 Eagles would have lost by 40 in that game. So, you know.
Yeah, but you know who else is not like 2023, and that's Josh Allen.
Right.
Because he's not the last 2 years. I don't know whether he's got some kind of foot injury.
Right.
X-rays came back negative, but they seem to be afraid to run with him.
Right.
When they got to the goal line, except for the one time he ran straight ahead.
Yes.
And he's not as accurate, and that was a bad pass. He ended the game with a bad pass to an open guy on the two-point conversion.
That was not a bad call at all by Joe Brady. That was a bad pass. Isolated Shakir on the linebacker, and he wasn't that rushed. He could sidestep. Phillips was like a step away. He could have sidestepped it, delivered that ball on target. Plus, you had the early game fumble where the ball wasn't really knocked out of his hand in that early game fumble. He was bracing for impact, and he kind of lost control of it. You had all of the runaround sacks. They're afraid to run forward with him, but they don't mind having him run around in circles and take himself out of field goal range.
Yes, there was one that took them out of field goal range that I was like, oh, my God, that's a rookie mistake. What are you doing?
When Shedeur Sanders does that, we point and laugh and say, well, this guy's never going to make it. And Josh Allen was doing it. Too much hero ball from Allen.
Andrew Daly says, call me crazy, but I found that game slightly encouraging for the Bills' playoff prospects. Their defense looked good. It's the classic debate. Is it bad offense or good defense? Right. I know what Eagles fans would say. Eagles fans would say it was not. The Bills have declined since week 10 on both offense, which has gone from 3rd to 11th, and defense, which has gone from 18th to 24th, and that includes yesterday. Okay. But, yes, their defense looked good, especially in the second half against an Eagles team that can't seem to do anything right now. My God, they miss Lane Johnson. Hopefully he's back next week, but he was supposed to maybe be back this week, and he wasn't.
I think they're going to see Lane Johnson in the postseason. And the Bills cannot keep spotting leads to opponents. They spotted the 13-0 lead. They spotted leads to
the Patriots.
They spotted leads to everybody, and then they try to come roaring back. You're not going to be able to do that in Foxborough, in Denver, in Jacksonville. It's not a formula for sustained
success. I mean, they did it in Foxborough, but it's hard to do twice in Foxborough.
Yeah, you can't keep doing that. By the way, I just made a quick list because we're talking about the Eagles offense. I was going through the SIS database, a list of all the things the Eagles offense doesn't do. Okay. For example, the Eagles offense ranks last in the NFL in the number of screens that get thrown. The Eagles offense ranks last in the NFL in designed rollouts. The Eagles offense ranks last in the NFL in throws to slot receivers. That's receivers lined up in a slot. That's not Jahan Dotson. That's, you know, if Devontae Smith.
Whoever's in the slot.
Whoever's in the slot, last in throws to that guy. They are also the only team in the NFL with no runs listed as end-arounds, jet sweeps, or reverses. I could have sworn I saw one or two, but, like, they never run the end-around to get the ball to Smitty or somebody like that in space. We talk about, like, coordinators who get into their bags.
Yes.
Petula doesn't have a bag. There's no bag. There's none of the other stuff, like the most basic stuff. Hey, let's roll the play. They don't do it. It's shocking. Now, I know the Eagles don't run as many plays as some other teams, but that's a problem because they're an 11-5 playoff team. They shouldn't be like, well, your stats are nerfed because you barely have the ball because you go 3-and-out all the time.
Yeah, and they still could get the 2 and play the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more likely that they get the 3, which means they have to play one of the NFC West teams, which is demonstrably better than they are.
Yes, right. Except if the 49ers go out there with absolutely no defense, and then maybe.
Well, that'll be funny because that will be a team that's all defense against a team with no defense, because the Eagles' defense has gone from 16th against the pass and 23rd against the run in the first 8 weeks of the season to 2nd against the pass and 7th against the run since week 10.
It is remarkable that Eagles fans started the season saying, what's wrong with the defense? That seems like it was a million years ago.
Yes. Yeah, and I said coming into the season, one of the reasons why I was down on the Eagles was I said their defense can't repeat what it did last year, and it turns out they couldn't for 8 weeks, and then they started to repeat what they did last year, and now they are the same defense as last year.
Right. Got a couple guys back, got a little more comfortable with adjustments, something like that. Whatever it does, it works.
Teams that the Eagles are in competition with for seeding include the 49ers and the Bears. 49ers 42, Bears 38, in a game that started with a pick six and then completely forgot about defense for the entire rest of the game.
Was this a post-game win expectancy flipper?
No, it was not.
Okay.
This one was not. This was an interesting – Caleb Williams is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because he makes some throws that are absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
He has an amazingly good arm, and his ability to throw on the run is great.
Yes.
And I know that he tickles a very special spot in a lot of internet film watchers' brains.
Yeah.
That being said, he scrambles crazy ways.
Yes.
Has some big misses.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, is not a great decision maker. Collinsworth kept pointing out open receivers that he missed.
Which, in fairness, they were scoring points left and right this week. So he was making enough plays. But that is a persistent problem. You've also mentioned in the past here on the podcast, turnover-worthy throws. I believe he had 17 entering last night. I think he had one last night. So he's getting away with some dropped interceptions.
Yeah.
His completion percentage is 31st in the NFL. And before you at me about completion percentage being a nonsense stat, Ben Johnson does not consider completion percentage a nonsense stat. He will talk about how he got Jared Goff up to 70%, what he wants from the offense. So, again, Caleb Williams has improved, and I think he's improved as the season went on.
And there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has improved, and I would call him good.
Yeah.
But the negatives, the positives are really so good. The negatives are there.
Yes.
He's definitely not in the, like, top five-ish type conversation or anything like that, the way May is at this point.
No, he's not. And I wonder what happens if the structure isn't working for him as well. He's very rarely had to play from a two-score deficit this year. He's been ahead of the sticks a lot. These are positives, but they can also inflate the reputation of a quarterback who still has a lot to learn and a lot of growing to do.
Matthew Carley says the Niners were without Kittle, Williams, Warner, Bosa, other Williams, and Ayuk, who has never forgiven the Niners for paying him. And it is crazy they are winning it all. I said this on Blue Sky during the game. Coach of the year is so hard this year, and this game was a great example. I have seven guys that I want to vote for and five spots on my ballot, and that doesn't even include a couple of guys who have had pretty good seasons as coaches, but they're not even in my seven.
Like a Liam Cohen, for example.
Shanahan, what he has done despite the injuries on this team, they are the number one offense, pass offense in the league since week 10. Mm-hmm. Even though Ayuk never showed up this year. And Pierce Dahl keeps getting hurt.
Yes.
And Trent Williams went out for the game. And the defense is terrible because there's just, they're without their top guys.
Not a human.
And the fact that they are in the running for the number one seed is remarkable.
It's absolutely stunning. You mentioned it earlier in the year when you were talking about if they start getting guys healthy, the schedule gets easier. And I think the 49ers took care of their business in that place. They got Purdy back. They got enough guys back. Obviously, the defense was still messed up. But taking care of business against some of those weaker opponents and then taking care of their business on Sunday night when they got into that shootout, it was very impressive.
I came out of that game feeling like, honestly, the same way that I feel about the NFC for weeks, backed up by my numbers, which is the Rams and Seahawks are the best teams. In fact, I would say the Rams are the best team.
Yes.
The Seahawks always have this possibility of Darnolding, right? Like they're really, really good, but you're always worried that Darnold is going to play like he did yesterday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But real quick, though, speaking of like film watchers, tape watchers, et cetera, what's Brock Purdy have to do? What's Brock Purdy have to do?
Respect him?
To get some sort of level of respect.
I mean, I would hope people understand he's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but the difference between Purdy and the other quarterbacks who have succeeded in Shanahan's system is large.
Large.
And his ability to do things out of structure. He had that one play last night where he scrambled and then found Juszczyk in the end zone. That was freaking awesome, man.
Right. And he scrambled for a score. You know, I think he needs to grow a beard.
Oh, he does look like he's 12 years old. That's true.
Yeah, he needs to look badass. He can't look like a Pokemon trainer anymore.
He looks like a Mr. Irrelevant.
He looks like a Mr. Irrelevant. When you make like an anime version of Brock Purdy, he doesn't change.
No, it would look about the same. Yeah.
Right.
So we have two division championship games set up for next week. The NFC South, does anyone really want to watch this? Other than fans, I mean, we will.
We have to
talk. It's our job and we love football. And when May, it's the middle of May, we're going to be begging to watch the Panthers and Buccaneers. But oh my golly, like the Buccaneers have really fallen apart. Like really, really, really. The Panthers have never really been good, are just really inconsistent. And have had just magic at weird times. And the Buccaneers have totally fallen apart.
Right. we're going to have to talk about this game on Wednesday too, man. We have to talk about this game on Wednesday.
Well, I'm not breaking down any specific matchups here. I'm just like, this game is happening, man.
The Buccaneers look like a team that tuned out their coach about 3 weeks ago. That they are sort of going through the motions and calling it quits. Whereas the Panthers look like a team that's like, we are still in this. We believe in ourselves. We believe in this goofy crap that we do. And we're going to keep fighting, 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 even though you face a team like the Seahawks, the defense is just going to take the game away from you. So I'm now like Scott Spratt, you're watching. I'm now a Panthers fan for at least another week here because I
just don't want the Buccaneers in the playoffs.
No, I they need soul searching. They probably need to let Bowles go. They need to do a reboot on this whole thing where they kept all the guys from like 2019, 2020, and they're all still around. It may be time for some retirements, etc. I don't want to see this team staggering in the playoffs and getting the crap kicked out of them by the Rams.
It's amazing because the Panthers beat the Rams. And there's a really good chance that's who they play if they make it. Because the way that it works in the NFC West is if the Rams take care of business, the whoever loses the game for the one seed drops to six.
Yes.
And the Rams are five. So
no, the six is the Packers.
No, seven is the Packers.
Seven is the Packers.
So the Rams, it's very likely going to be Rams but Panthers again. And I would think that the Rams just, with regular luck, wipe the floor with them.
You would think. I'd be watching the weather forecast. They'll be doing rain dances in Charlotte to try and get Matthew Stafford to melt like sugar. But, yeah, no pick six, no fourth and four 45-yard touchdowns. The Rams should walk away with that game. Should.
Meanwhile, the AFC North Championship game, the Ravens were very good against the Packers. Tyler Huntley was very good. The Packers have, you know, really fallen apart. And obviously you see they're missing Micah Parsons. And although Willis was good, it wasn't the offense's fault. It was the defense that's really fallen apart. And Browns Steelers had a 50-50 post-game win expectancy. It honestly looked like, I don't remember who tweeted this, but it looked like their strategy was, don't let Myles Garrett get the sack record, not win the game.
That's kind of it. That's kind of it. They were, and we've seen Aaron Rodgers get the ball, just throw it away, get the ball, throw it away all year. But that happened to an extreme situation without DK Metcalf out there to give you four or five like meaningful completions. And it just devolved into Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Scotty Miller, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, punt. And the Browns offense looked like the Eagles offense, which is an indictment of the Eagles offense. And there were all these opportunities for the Steelers to come back, and they just didn't take any of them.
I mean, again, I watched it, and I was like, Shedeur Sanders is not as bad as his worst games have been.
No.
And he's not as good as his supporters think he is.
No.
He looks like a reasonable NFL backup quarterback taken in the mid-rounds.
He's better than Max Brosmer.
Yes.
He's better than Brady Cook. He's probably better than Dylan Gabriel.
He's probably better than Quinn Ewers.
He's probably better than Quinn Ewers. Right. So you start putting him in that. And that's the category he belongs in when we're not doing this socio-political argument around all the ancillary stuff.
It would be a lot easier if his name was Shedeur Smith.
Right. Right. Then we could have fun with him as this Dorian Thompson Robinson character, but better.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, but better. Right. And I don't know if he's better than Gabriel, but it's honestly not going to matter. The Browns are drafting a quarterback.
Yes. Yes.
The other reverse post-game win expectancy game this week was Cowboys Commanders.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah.
I forgot the game existed.
Cowboys 42%. The Commanders had 8 yards per play. But the Cowboys had 87 plays, and the Commanders only had 41.
Okay, I've got to admit,
It was a weird result.
Didn't watch it.
Mariota. I think has Mariota didn't play. Josh Johnson played. Yeah. Johnson is still reasonable. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that he's been around with his 9,000 leagues and 20,000 teams, and he's still reasonable is kind of remarkable. They were talking about Matt Ryan was announcing the game. Matt Ryan and Josh Johnson were in the same draft class.
Oh, my gosh. He's the Philip Rivers of the gig economy. What happens if you can't afford to retire for 5 years? You become Josh Johnson.
Yeah, he's still getting health insurance, man. By the way, Andrew Daly points out the Packers have been the number 7 seed for 3 consecutive seasons. If the playoffs had not expanded, they'd have 0 appearances in the playoffs since Rodgers left.
That hurts. That hurts. And they were the only 7th seed, I believe, to ever win.
Beat a 2.
When they beat up on the Cowboys with a yes. big game from Love. But yeah, team is falling apart due to injuries. Defense really has nothing left. Nate Hobbs' injury. There are a couple other injuries in that game. So it's kind of like, that's why there's discussion, like, do you battle for the number 2, like here in Philly? Do you battle for the number 2? It's like, well, you get the Packers. You probably get that win as opposed to facing whoever's coming down the road.
I mean, I know that in the AFC, as a Patriots fan, I do not want the Bills to have 7.
No. Oh, no. You don't want
the Bills. I want the Chargers to have 7.
Yes.
Because I know the Bills have problems, and I know that the Patriots are probably better than them at this point, but I also know they came into Foxborough and won a couple weeks ago, and I would much rather play the Chargers and their offensive line of dudes taken out of the stands.
Dudes taken out of the stands at the offensive line. Justin Herbert playing with a Winter Soldier apparatus on his left arm where he's got to watch what he's doing. No, the Chargers are the most vulnerable team in the AFC right now in the playoff field.
Matthew Carley says, should the Packers trade Love and keep Willis? That's a little extreme.
That's a little extreme, but I laugh. It's like it's a little extreme. It's not completely absurd.
But Love, by a lot of these adjusted EPA type metrics, has been the best quarterback in the league this year.
He's been much more consistent this year, and he's traded a lot of like his explosive wackadoodle stuff for more consistency, and yet that hasn't made the offense better.
Yeah. I think part of that is the issues with receivers and guys missing, and Christian Watson missing games, and Jaden Reed missing games, and Tucker Kraft going out, and
Elgin Jenkins.
Lineman.
Yeah. Yeah. Elgin Jenkins going out, and that's like a Pro Bowler who was playing center. He leaves, the other centers bouncing balls off Malik Willis's head. Zach Tom was out for a while. A lot of teams have injury problems on the line to rival the Chargers, but the Chargers had that extreme 2 Pro Bowl caliber guys gone, their backups gone situation. Packers have a kind of a similar problem.
All right, let's count up the weighted DVOA top 16. I did 16 here because it gets us all the playoff teams except the NFC South. So this is, again, weighted towards more recent games.
All right.
16, the Chargers.
Yep, most vulnerable team.
Down 2.
Yes.
15 to 9 are all very close together. 15 is the Eagles.
Oof. They went down.
14 is the Ravens.
All right.
13 Steelers. 12 Bills. 11 Packers. 10 Bears. And 9 still hanging around, dropping every week.
Colts? The Colts? Yep. Oh, my gosh.
It still looks long view, still looks over 10 or 11, you know, weeks, and that includes weeks with Jones when they were playing well.
They also played well yesterday.
Then a little bit of a gap.
Uh-huh.
Broncos, 8.
Okay.
Patriots all the way up from 15 to 7.
Wow. Got to play.
Because of how the equation works, their 2 worst games are the first 2 weeks of the season, and those 2 weeks are now out of the equation entirely.
Completely.
Plus, they walloped the Jets in a face dumping.
Completely out of the equation, and hooray for Green, Rutgers, and Brady Cook.
6, San Francisco.
Wow. Hanging in. They've been slowly climbing as the year went on, too.
5. Go ahead. Be mean. The Detroit Lions.
Chumps! Absolute chumps! How are they still number 5? Max Brosmer beat them without throwing.
Drop.
How do they remain number 5?
Drop
the system. Well, do a specially reweighted DVOA.
I feel like they're going to bounce back next year. They do need to get pass rushers, and they do need to figure out why they suffer so many injuries every year. But I feel like that is the kind of team that people are writing off who are actually going to be fine next year, as opposed to the Chiefs, where I don't know when Mahomes is coming back.
Right. they need to sit down with a couple of bottles of whiskey and get hammered and look at each other. It's like, we really screwed this up.
Yeah, they really did. They should, like, everything you wrote today about that game was right. Like, they, I'm a big Dan Campbell fan, but the performance in that game suggested he's losing his fastball as far as player incentives.
Right, right. He's still going for the fourth down, still being over aggressive. Still, they're getting caught with their pants down. And I think he started to believe his, I am the great leader of men, just as Brad Holmes was like, I am the greatest drafting wizard in the world. And we can do next man up as the coordinators. They've got to face facts on this and say, okay, let's get back to whatever grassroots is for them, whether it's rebuilding the interior line or whatever. They have to get back to that.
Interior offensive line is a big deal for them, I agree.
Yeah.
Four, up one, Houston.
They are scary. Shark week.
Yeah, they're a little scarier because the defense is so. The thing is, you know, defense being less consistent than offense, but their defense has been really consistent.
Yes.
Three, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm more scared of Houston than Jacksonville, but Jacksonville's been real good since midseason.
Right. I was writing a thing up. Their third down conversion rate on offense has gone up from like the 20s. To like the 50s over the last couple of weeks. Their penalty rate has gone down from about 8.5 per game earlier in the year to 6 per game, which is closer to league average, which is fine. All of these goofy things, and their drop pass rate has gone way down as well. All the stuff that was making them like goofballs earlier in the year has gone down closer to below league average, and you're seeing the results.
Then a big gap. Big, big gap.
Big gap.
Number 2, Seattle. Number 1, Rams.
Right.
Those and are the two teams this year.
Right. And I guess we've got to preview this game tonight, even though if we don't know what Sean McVay plans to do with his starters.
Monday Night Football. Upright says, I'm curious if Atlanta's weighted DVOA is higher than both Tampa and Carolina. No, Carolina is the highest of those three teams right now.
That's
then
fair.
Atlanta. Then Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. And the Saints bringing up the rear because no one believes in this four-game win.
Even though the Saints have been... All right, they're kind of putting some stuff together. It's unfortunately, as you said, they're putting some stuff together that they may have more hope about Shuck than he really deserves. But
right. I'm impressed by Kellen Moore because they're and the staff because they're finding ways to put these things together than I am about the personnel that's on the field.
I mean, if I'm the Rams, I keep playing. I keep playing hard. I want the five. I want to play the NFC South team in the first round.
I agree. McVay's built different, though.
Rams 11-4 at Falcons 6-9. The Rams are higher than the Falcons in all three phases, including special teams.
Wow.
The Rams special teams are bad and the Falcons special teams are worse.
I lost track of the Falcons special teams. I think when Younghoe Koo left, I don't even know what's going on with them. I don't know who they're kicking.
The other stat I picked up was Falcons pass defense since week 10 has dropped from 5th in the first half of the year to 22nd.
Surprising because they're still getting good pass rush.
So I know we talk about don't bet on Falcons games, but the Rams are favored by 8. And if I had to pick this, I would pick the Rams. I think the Rams easily take care of business. It's most likely that the Rams easily take care of business. I know weird things happen in Falcons games, but it's most likely that the Rams easily take care of business.
Don't do this, but if you do this, wait and place that bet at 20 minutes before kickoff when you've seen the starters out there warming up, just in case. I agree with Aaron.
In case he pulls some sort of sitting guys thing.
Yeah, you know what matters is this. I've got this, you know, 4D chess way of approaching these things. It's McVay. He does do stuff like that, so be on the lookout.
And I will also point out that with a good game tonight, Puka Nacua will set a new all-time record for receiving DYAR.
Really?
Before we even get to week 18.
Wow.
Yeah, it's possible that both Nacua and Jackson Smith and Jigba will beat the previous record, which is Cooper Kupp from 4 years ago.
Rooting for Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I know. It's obviously there's complications with Nacua, but the guy, as far as being on the field, is having a pretty incredible season.
No question.
All right. That does it for today's show. Once again, this week, the second show of the week will be Wednesday rather than Thursday. We will be back on New Year's Eve to preview week 18. And then taking New Year's Day off. So please join us live Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Until then, everyone enjoy Monday Night Football. He's Mike Tenier. I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, everybody.